Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Christina Ho, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Accounting Policy and Financial Transparency within the U.S. Department of the Treasury. Also joining us from IBM is Catherine Eustace. So, Christina, would you tell us more about the Data Accountability and Transparency Act of 2014, what is commonly referred to as the Data Act now? Perhaps you can highlight some of the key requirements of the Act, and I'm interested in understanding the long-term benefits of meeting these requirements.
Yes, the Data Act expands the Federal Funding Accountability and Transparency Act of 2006 to disclose direct federal agency expenditures and linking federal contract, loan, and grant spending information to agency program activity information, which will allow taxpayer and policymakers to track federal spending more effectively. As we look at expanding the data provided for the federal government spending, it boils down to three things. Extracting the data, we need to get the data out, which resides in many, many systems across the government. Then we have to publish it in a way that allow all the stakeholders to consume and understand the data. Lastly, we need to have people use the data, which means that the data needs to be good quality. And also, ultimately, if we're making data accessible and it's not used, it does not create any value. I often refer to a simple formula that data plus use equals value. And what we're doing for data is try to make it accessible so that people can use it to derive values.
So how does the Data Act complement some of the other federal financial transparency efforts and laws that are underway?
The first legislation to require transparency was enacted in 2006, the Federal Financial Accountability and Transparency Act. That law established USAspending.gov and required the data for contracts, grants, and loans to be published online for awards over $25,000. The Data Act amends the Federal Funding Transparency and Accountability Act by adding additional reporting requirements and establishing data standard. We are also thinking about how the Data Act might complement the CFO Act and looking for ways to create more linkages between that efforts. Getting access to program information that can be linked to financial data is a challenge for many CFOs, and the Data Act requires new linkages between the financial and award data, often provide more program information with like program activity and object class. Those would be helpful to the CFOs. I believe that Data Act will support many of the goals of the CFO Act to use financial data strategically to help federal agencies work more efficiently and effectively.
This is a really significant government-wide effort and requires a focused plan. To that end, what would you explain the governance and the implementation structure that's being used to meet the requirements of the Data Act?
We established a robust governance structure to oversee the Data Act implementation last year. David Mader, the controller at OMB, and David Liebrecht, the fiscal assistant secretary at Treasury, formed the Data Act Executive Steering Committee and are ultimately responsible for setting overall policy guidance and making decisions related to Data Act implementation. We also established an interagency advisory committee to advise the Executive Steering Committee. Representatives come from across the federal government, including officials from the finance, procurement, financial assistance, budget, performance, and technology policy offices. This committee, in a consultative role, serves as a forum for advising and challenging recommendations on data standards and providing input on other Data Act issues. In addition, Treasury and OMB have identified senior accountable officials at each agency to lead the implementation. The agencies are ultimately required to implement are the ones who need to implement the Data Act.
So can you tell us a little bit more about your implementation approach with the Data Act? Perhaps maybe describe the data-centric strategic approach and how it differs from the traditional systems approach.
When the law was first enacted, I knew that how we did the work would be just as important as what we did and what we were about to do. So our strategy focused on a few things. The first thing is that our work should be open and transparent. So we use GitHub to publish data draft data standard prior to them being finalized and get data public input. We just recently launched the open beta USA spending site to engage the public to help participate in the process of building the ultimate USA spending in May 2017. We also do outreach on a regular basis to external stakeholders. We want to be transparent and open and engaging with our approach. Secondly, we developed a data-centric approach. We want to use technology to extract the data from current sources to meet the requirements. We don't want to make agency build a lot of big system and make significant system changes in order to comply with the Act. Data-centric is essentially about making data portable so that the data can be freed from the systems. Otherwise, every time we need new data, we will have to go through system changes. An example of that, it would be our phone number. I think not too long ago, the phone number is attached to the geographic location, and it's no longer the case. When we move now, we can take the same number with us. And then when we change provider, we can take the same number with us. I hope that we could get to the same thing for the data. We have also adopted modern and agile technology development process to develop our data-centric broker and future display website. We're using the agile principle. We've actually adopted all of the plays outlined in the U.S. Digital Service playbook. And our team is working on two-week sprints to develop these various components to eventually get to May 2017. The fourth thing is we need data quality. Like I mentioned earlier, data will not be used to create value if the data is not good quality. So our approach needs to be very focused on making sure that the data we ultimately publish will be of good quality. That means we need to access the data at the source. That means we have to have validations in place. That also means that we have to align incentives and accountability, because today the bearer of data quality are data consumers. If agencies do not use the data, and or it's difficult to trace the provenance of the data, it becomes very difficult to ensure data quality. And then lastly, it's very important to us that we do this in a way to create value for the public, value for businesses, value for agencies.
And one of the ways you need to do this is to establish data definition standards. And I understand that the Data Act directs OMB and Treasury to do that. Would you tell us more about that effort? Why is it so important? What's been accomplished to date? And what remains to be done?
One of the key requirements of the Data Act is to establish data standards. And ultimately, that's to ensure data quality and consistencies and also consumability. OMB and Treasury finalized the 57 data standards in August. We are continuing to work on the operational guidance and questions about how the data standards will be applied. Collecting public input on the data standards was an important part of our process. I mentioned GitHub earlier. We use GitHub to collect input from external public and private stakeholders on the standards. GitHub is an open source tool for online collaboration. We are using it to post information publicly on our efforts and collect input on the data standards and the schema. Before we finalize the data standard, we posted each proposed data element and its definition on GitHub for a 3-week period. At that time, anyone could review the data element and submit their feedback to us. Afterwards, we review the feedback and determine what changes, if any, we should make in our data standard. That was our process.
So you mentioned the data, the schema, and I want to talk about that because I don't want to get too technical, but adopting a new format for exchanging data across the federal government, that alone is challenging to implement. What is the Data Act schema? What are the benefits of pursuing such an effort?
Yes, the Data Act schema is foundational to our data-centric approach and to ensure data quality. I mentioned about making data portable earlier. The schema will allow us to do that. And also the schema will allow us to include some validation of the data, which will ensure data quality. We're dealing with some very complex data. Unlike the award-level data that most people are more familiar with have already been published on USA Spending, the spending financial data is very complex. It doesn't have a lot of data elements. It's similar to our bank statements. You probably are dealing with 4 or 5 data elements, date, description. But within that, all that information include a lot of intelligence about your spending habit, what you do. And that's the case for for the federal financial data as well. And we also have to try to link them together. So having the data schema allow us to make sure that those linkages are clear and the information about the data that we are publishing is clear to the external stakeholders so that when they consume it, they understand how to interpret it and they can then use it for whatever purpose, use the data for whatever purpose they need it to be for innovation or creation.
And when you mention the user, I don't, in both instances, this is, in the case of the user, it's everybody you're talking about. It's federal agencies, it's also citizens, correct?
Yes.
And what have you.
Yes.
Okay.
So users include, it can be anybody.
It can be anybody.
There are novice users who just go on the site and like my parents, you know, they'll go on to find out what's been spent in their local community. And then we also have more power users who just want to take the data and then aggregate it or assimilate that with some other data sources to create other type of analytics to help their customer. There are businesses that are focused on doing that. There's also journalists. We also have obviously congressional users and agencies users.
So what are some of the key challenges being faced by federal agencies in their efforts to implement the Data Act requirements? What are some of them?
Implementing Data Act will require commitment and resources from the entire federal community. While its benefits are significant, I'm a firm believer of it, the challenges with driving changes in allocating resources in a budget-constrained environment are real, and Data Act did not provide additional resources to Treasury or other federal agencies. The progress we can make is therefore constrained by our ability to reallocate existing resources. That's why, to mitigate this challenge, Treasury is taking a data-centric approach to implementation. Our goal is to minimize cost burden to implement and maximize the strategic values for agencies and external stakeholders. Data Act implementation will also require strong leadership. As I mentioned earlier, that the silo. The Data Act require data really coming from different function, even within an agency, which will require a lot of collaboration. And that requires strong leadership. And that's one of the reasons that we set out a very clear vision and value proposition for the agencies. The key to success in moving forward is perseverance, communication, collaboration, and holding people accountable for the implementation.
How is the Data Act being implemented? We will ask Christina Ho, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Accounting Policy and Financial Transparency at the U.S. Department of the Treasury, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.